2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Stopping the stigma around mental illness.
Special coverage
on Dave and Dujanovic.
This discussion is personal for me, and I know it impacts a lot of Utah families as well. Talk about seasonal depression. We've had some pretty nice weather these last few weeks, and maybe that helps us kind of stay a little happier than normal. If we were having horrible weather, I just know that I've suffered from this over the years, Dave, and that there are a few signs that I wanted to run by you when I can tell it's setting in. And then also we're going to get a doctor, Dr. Rachel Weir from the Huntsman Mental Health Institute on the line with us to help walk us through it.
The seasonal depression thing never really affected me. I guess I never really thought about it because I always looked forward to the winter because that was ski season. And I wonder if that changed my outlook or if there's something else that leads to it. Is it an environmental thing? Is it the cold just makes you depressed? What is it that causes it? Because I know it's a real thing. Obviously, a lot of people deal with it.
The sun sets a lot earlier.
Oh, yeah, we do lose a lot of sunlight.
I mean, we lose a lot of sun. Summers are great because it's sunny until 9 o'clock at night.
So I just need vitamin D? Is that the key?
There's for those who don't ski, who aren't into winter sports, it can be a little confining. For example, I love to run. I know you find that hard to believe. But I'm not really great running on ice and snow.
It's a whole nother workout, Deb.
I find that clumsy and clunky. But here's some signs. Maybe somebody you know is, they don't want to go to the grocery store. Simple tasks become monumental. They don't even feel like leaving the house. Their hair looks a little unkempt. This was me 10, 11 years ago. Not feeling like I really cared that much about how I looked. Cooking dinner, that's why God invented pizza delivery people. When I was suffering with anxiety and some depression, Dr. Weir was not afraid to call up Domino's and say, yeah, we need another pizza. I became a frequent flyer.
They're like the fifth day in a row?
Yeah. So what are some of the triggers for seasonal depression? Is it the weather? Is it the holidays?
It definitely can be the time change, the amount of daylight hours. That seems to be a big trigger for a lot of people. And especially, we just had daylight savings time, the sun setting so much earlier. That definitely is very difficult for many people who have a seasonal component to their mood.
So is that a physical thing, like the less sunlight we have or the less we're in the sunlight, it affects us? Or is it just kind of mentally we think, oh, man, my day's already over?
It's definitely physical, but, we're not really sure why certain people are affected and others aren't. That's, when I'm doing assessments for depression, that's one thing I usually ask people, do you notice the seasonal component? Like, is your mood typically worse, going into the fall and winter? If it is, we know that, things that can help mimic sunlight, like light boxes, do help people's mood. So that kind of shows that there's a very real, like, physiologic nature to seasonal mood problems.
Dr. Rachel Weir with Huntsman Mental Health Institute on the line live with us right now talking about seasonal depression. It was more profound in me, doctor, about 10, 11 years ago. Somebody might have mistaken me for somebody who's lazy. Like, for example, I had to have my husband drive me to the grocery store. He didn't always come in with me because I did like grocery shopping on my own. I felt like he got in my way of all the things I wanted to buy. But even things like cleaning the house were not even on the back burner. They weren't even on the burner at all. cooking yeah. dinner for my kids. How can we make sure we're not confusing or calling somebody lazy when they're actually suffering depression?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think depression can look so many different ways. So, you know, some people are kind of anxious, depressed, where they're very active, they're almost doing too much, they're jumping from thing to thing and, you know, getting a lot done and not sleeping and not eating. But especially with a seasonal component, depression can look very different. Maybe someone's not crying all the time, but they're very irritable. They have no energy. They have no motivation. They might be oversleeping. So that is you know, kind of when you see a big change in somebody that you haven't seen in the past, that's a sign. This is probably someone that's dealing with, you know, depression or a mental health problem, not, you know, all of a sudden someone got lazy or, you know, doesn't care. That's, you know, that wouldn't be very typical.
So how do we help those people that we love, family members, friends, that we think, oh, you might be struggling with that?
Yeah, it can be hard, but hopefully, you know, if you can have that conversation, you know, it seems like you're not quite feeling yourself. Do you think you need, you know, some help or some treatment? I think when people do have really, really low motivation and energy, like you were saying, Deb, they often, you know, you just can't get yourself to do something. So, you know, sometimes having that loved one just be there to kind of encourage you or hold you accountable can be really helpful. So when people start to feel really bad with their mood, they want to do less and less and less. And then that makes mood worse. So you get into this cycle where then you're feeling worse and you're doing even less. So if you can kind of start to schedule just even one or two things a week, and then have that loved person, someone close with you, kind of hold you accountable. Like, hey, did you do that? Like we talked about, or, you know, that can be really helpful. But, you know, it's not helpful to be overly positive. Like, why don't you love Christmas time? It's filled with so much joy. Yeah. But just, you know, to try to be there and listen and encourage, but, you know, not push.
So this is a heartbreaking moment that I have never shared with anyone. And my son was very little at the time, maybe, 10, 11 years old. And I remember him standing by my bed, and it was a Saturday morning, and the whole family was going snowmobiling. It was one of our favorite activities. We did it almost every weekend in the winter. And he was begging me to go. And The Debbie of today looks back on her and says, why would you not get out of bed for your son? He was clearly my favorite child. The girls know that. And I didn't get out of bed, and I regret it to this day, but I could not bring myself to do it. And until I had that moment, I never understood the grips of anxiety and depression like I did in that moment.
Right.
I had no motivation. None.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you had been battling, you know, something else, a different condition like cancer or, you know, something else, you know, you wouldn't look back and say, gosh, why didn't I just get out of bed? You know, but we tend to treat mental health differently. Well, I could have done it. But, you know, as you're are sharing with everybody, I mean, you really couldn't in that moment, and it's okay. And, you know, yeah. We can kind of let that guilt go, understanding that this was a really, really like difficult time and a very real medical condition you were dealing with.
And now I make it up for him to him with rounds of golf. Dr. Weir of Huntsman Cancer Institute, thanks a million, as always, for helping us understand what can be a very complex situation that a lot of families are going through.
As she says, mental health is health, and we forget that sometimes.
Do you feel we're getting there, though, Dave, with understanding that?
Oh, I think it's gotten so much better. There is a stigma. And the more we talk about it, the more we address it and be honest about it, I think that really helps the conversations that we've got to have.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.